There's a new Christian song out. It's not all that new, but it's entitled, I'm No Longer a Slave of Fear. I am a child of God. And I've been humming that song all week, and I've been rejoicing over that great truth all week. And so, since we're in a series entitled From My Heart to Yours, I thought it'd be great for us to talk about this great truth today so that your heart can spend the week rejoicing in it the way mine has been able to do this past week. And so the title of our message is, I am a child of God. So you ready?
Yeah.
All right. We begin in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter, is about the assurance that God gives everyone who is in Christ Jesus, the assurance that condemnation and separation from God and hell and damnation are utter impossibilities for such people. Now, Romans chapter 8 actually gives us 6 reasons why verse 1 is true, but I want to talk to you about reason number 3, and it's found in verses 15 and 16, and here's what it says. It says, for you, as a follower of Christ, did not receive a spirit of bondage to fall back into fear, but you received, say the next 4 words, the spirit of adoption by which we cry out to God, Abba, Father. Abba simply means father in Hebrew. Verse 16, for the spirit of God himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, next 4 words, the children of God. Exactly right. Friends, reason number 3 why people who are in Christ face no condemnation from God is because when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, Romans 8 says that God legally adopts us into his own personal family. We become a child of God, adopted through Jesus Christ, and God does not condemn his children. Now, the whole Bible reinforces this truth, that as a follower of Christ, we are a child of God. Watch. Galatians chapter 4 says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive, say the next 4 words, the adoption of sons. Right. 1 John chapter 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, John says. And finally, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, in accordance with his good will and pleasure, God predestined us to be adopted as his children in Jesus Christ. Now, please notice that God offers adoption into his family at only one location in the universe, and that location is not in Buddha, it is not in Confucius, it is not in Muhammad, and it is not in the Dalai Lama. That location is not in Judaism, it is not in Mormonism, it is not in Catholicism, and it is not in Protestantism. That location is not in religion, it is not in baptism, it is not in confirmation, it is not in keeping the Ten Commandments, and it is not in recycling. None of those places. Friends, the location where God offers to adopt people is in, by, and through Jesus Christ and the redemption that he purchased on the cross for you and me, shedding his blood to pay for our sin. That's where people get adopted. Amen. Now, if you're here and you can't say with 100% surety that you are a child of God, You say, well, how would I know for sure? Well, the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit that we are a child of God. I remember when I was brand new in the Lord, a week old in the Lord, and I knew Christ had come into my life, and yet all my old drug buddies and all my old drinking buddies down in Chapel Hill kept trying to talk me out of it. And they would throw me Bible stumpers, you know, and all these things to trip me up. Well, look, I didn't know how to answer these Bible stumpers. I didn't know anything about theology. I was a week old in the Lord, for goodness sake. Hey, but let me tell you something. On the inside, the Spirit of God was bearing witness to my spirit that I had become a child of God. I knew I was different. I knew I had changed. I knew Christ was in my life. And you know it because you know it because you know it. And that's why I said, look, I can't answer any of y'all's questions, but I know what I know what I know, and I've become a child of God. Friends, if you can't say that, like I said, you need to come down front when we're done and let our prayer team and our staff people help you, because you might not have been able to walk in here today saying, I know I'm a child of God. But let me tell you something. You can walk out of here today being able to say, I know I'm a child of God. And that's what God wants for you. Don't you leave here today without coming down just like you are and letting God make you a child of God. We're down here. You come meet us. Got it? All right. Now, all right, you can clap. Won't hurt you. All right. Now, lots of people have said, but Lon, I hear people say all the time, I even hear preachers say, we're all God's children. Well, you know, that really is a beautiful sentiment. It's a tender sentiment. The only problem with it is the Bible says it's wrong. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All of Romans chapter 8 is about those who are in Christ Jesus. Everything in that chapter belongs to people only who are in Christ Jesus. Only they, verse 1, have faced no condemnation before God. Only they, verse 15, have God's spirit of adoption in them. And only they, verse 16, have the Holy Spirit bearing witness to their spirit that they are the children of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as to as many as received him, that is the Lord Jesus, what are the next two words? Say it. To them, and to them only, God gave the right to become the children of God. Until a person believes in Jesus, they may be God's creation. Hey, we're all God's creation. But as John 1:12 so clearly says, becoming a child of God is a right that is reserved exclusively, that is given exclusively to people who receive Jesus into their hearts as their personal Lord and Savior. And you know, the Lord Jesus said this very same thing. Look at John chapter 8. Here, Jesus and the rabbis in this chapter are involved in a heated argument about whether or not Jesus is the Messiah. And as the argument grows a little bit nastier, the rabbis actually make a crude remark about Jesus' virgin birth. Look what they say. Verse 41. They say, we were not born of fornication. Well, who are they talking about? Well, they're talking about Jesus. His mother, Mary, was pregnant before she got married, and they all knew it. So that's what they're talking about. We're not like you, Jesus. We weren't born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God. And the key word in the sentence is the word were. If God were your Father, because in the Greek New Testament, this verb is in the subjunctive mood. You say, Lon, I did not come here for a grammar lesson, okay? All right, I know you didn't, but friends, this is very important grammar Because in Greek, just as in English, the subjunctive mood is used to describe things that are contrary to fact, that are not true. Listen, in English, if he were sorry, subjunctive mood, but he's not. It's not true. If he were sorry, he would have apologized already. If we were, as Americans, still a British colony, but we're not. That's not true. We'd all be having tea and crumpets this afternoon. Now, the point is, when the subjunctive is used, the person is talking about something that is not true. And that's why it's so important what Jesus said, so significant that he used the subjunctive mood here. He said, if God were your father, but he's not. To the contrary, Jesus said in verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil. Even though you're Jewish, even though you're the religious leaders of Israel, even though you are dripping with religious performance, because, don't miss this, you refuse to believe in me as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, you are not children of God, and God is not your father. Can we summarize? Huh? Okay. Romans chapter 8 declares, and the rest of the New Testament confirms that God has a personal, intimate, family relationship with certain people on this planet, and he gives them, these people, the right, John 1:12 says, to call him their father and to call themselves children of God, but this is a very select few people. And these select few are anyone and everyone who is in Christ, who has taken Jesus Christ for their personal Lord and Savior. To these select few only, God makes the promise of 2 Corinthians 6. He says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If you know Christ, that's your promise. If you don't know Christ, that is not your promise. We got it? Okay. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the scripture of John 8, Romans 8, because now we want to stop and ask our most important question. So, are we ready? Everybody ready? You don't sound ready, but that's okay. I've got confidence in you. All right, are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Beautiful. You were ready. All right. You say, all right, Lon, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate that. I mean, what has all this got to do with subjunctive mood and all? What is this? What has it got to do with me? Well, let me talk to you about that for just a second. You know, folks, before I gave my life to Christ, before I was a child of God, I was a slave to fear. I mean, I lived in fear of everything. I lived in fear of dying. I lived in fear of living. I lived in fear of people. I lived in fear of intimacy. I lived in fear of the future. I lived in fear of failing. I was in bondage to fear, but oh, how that changed. Praise God. Oh, how that changed when I came to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, we read it, said, you did not receive a spirit of bondage to fall back into fear. Folks, do you know that the most commonly repeated, the most often repeated phrase in the Bible, that God says to us as followers of Christ, that he says to us as his children in Christ, he says it over 150 times. I counted them this week. He says, fear not. He says that to us more than any other single thing. Now look, God doesn't repeat for filler. When God says something to us 150 times, he wants us to pay attention. And so what is it that God says we should fear not as his children? Well, I've got six to give you. There are a lot more. But let me give you these six quickly. Number one, as God's children, we should fear not death. Hebrews chapter 2 says, by his death, Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death, namely the devil, and freed those who all their lives were slaves to their fear of death. This was me. This was who I was, terrified of dying. The Bible says that God sent Jesus to free us from that fear. John chapter 6, Jesus said, for this is my Father's will. Stop there a second. Let me ask you a question. Do you think anything in this universe, including Satan himself, can change something if God says, this is my will? You think so? What do you think?
No,
of course not. Of course not. So whatever Jesus is about to tell us, folks, whatever it is, you can take it to the bank. If it's God's will, it ain't never changing, right? All right. For this is my Father's will, here we go, that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him, say the next four words with me, shall have eternal life. How can you say it any clearer than that? Shall have eternal life. And I, Jesus said, will raise him up at the last day. Fear death as God's child? Ridiculous. Fear death as God's child? Preposterous. We don't fear death because we have the promise of God as his child that we shall have eternal life no matter what anybody else says. Praise God. Right? Yes. Okay. Number two, as God's child, we should fear not the future. Moses, on behalf of God, said to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. There's our words. For the Lord your God, it is he who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. I love the gospel song that says, don't worry about the future. God's already there. And he's already got it worked out for you. Don't worry about it. And that's what the Bible says. Fear not. I'm going with you, Jesus said. And I'm already there working it out. Number three, as God's child, we should fear not man. Hebrews 13 says, for God has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hey, you got trouble with your boss, you got trouble with your family, you got trouble with your neighbor, you got somebody standing in your way or somebody trying to make your life miserable. What does God say to you? Fear not. I'm bigger. Fear not. And I can take care of that person all by myself. You don't need to worry about a thing. And wherever you need to get to, I'm going to get you there. And I don't care what man says. I don't care what woman says. You don't have to worry about them. You fear not. I'll get you where you need to go. Praise the Lord, huh? Amen. Number four, as a child of God, we should fear not about our needs in life. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, fear not, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows you need these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. Therefore, fear not. Number five, as God's child, we should fear not when we find ourselves in deep crisis, even if we got ourselves in the mess. Doesn't matter. God says, Chronicles chapter 20, to Jehoshaphat, fear not, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Why is that? Well, because you're his child. That's why. when somebody messes with my child, it's not their battle anymore. It's my battle. They're my child. And that's what God says to you. Don't you worry about it. I got the battle. Stand still and you will see the deliverance of the Lord on your behalf. Fear not and do not be dismayed. And finally, number six, when we're a child of God, we should fear not suffering and pain and whether we can make it through. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, for I, the Lord your God, will hold you by the right hand, saying unto you, fear not, for I will help you. You know, this was the verse that God gave my wife Brenda while she was pregnant with my daughter Jill, who I think all of you know has severe disabilities. And through the 23 years of Jill's life, with the ups and the downs and the emergency rooms and everything, we kept holding on to this verse, Brenda and me, even in days where we didn't think we could make it one more day. And God says, no, 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 don't you fear. I got your hand. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there. Don't you fear. You can make it. And friends, here we are 23 years later, and by the grace of God, we're still standing. Praise God for that. I don't care what you're going through, my friend. God says He will strengthen you. God says He will help you. God says He will take your hand. You don't have any reason to fear. You don't have any reason to worry whether you can make it. If God took you into it, God's going to take you through it, and God's going to bring you out of it, and He's going to walk right by your side the whole time. Fear not. Amen. Fear not. Now, I could keep going, but I think the point's clear. But just in case you missed the point, let me just sum it up for you. Here's the point. Find any issue in life. I don't care what it is. And then open the pages of the Word of God, and God's Word to you will be the same regardless of what issue you're facing. As a child of God, His Word to you will be, fear not. I got you. I got you. Fear not. You know, last night after the sermon, I had a gentleman come up to me and say, you know, Lon, I love the message. Thank you. But don't you ever fear? Don't you ever feel fear? Folks, of course I do. I'm human just like you are. I feel fear all the time. I get up every morning saying, oh, Lord. And yes, fear can come over me. And it does often. What's going to happen to my daughter in the future? What if and what if and what if and what if? But you know what I do, folks? And you know what you need to do? Is we need to go back to the Bible, where God says to you and me 150 times, fear not, Lon. Fear not. Yeah, I know you don't know what's out there, but you fear not, son, because you're my child. And as my child, you don't need to fear anything except me. Now, friends, as children of God today here, can you claim that for yourself? Can you believe that for yourself? Can you claim this freedom in Christ that God wants to give you from fear today and declare that it is yours? I am no longer a slave of fear. Why? Because I am a child of God. Can you grab that? If you can, say amen. Oh, that's the weakest amen I ever heard. Can you grab that today? Amen. Amen. Can that bring hope to your life today? Amen. Can that bring encouragement to your situations today? Amen. Can that give you the strength to go on and face another week for the Lord? Amen. All right. All right. Now we're right, folks. Lord, You are the awesome God of the universe. You are higher. You are greater. You are mightier than any force, and we are your children. And you love your children, and you protect your children, and you make promises to your children that you always keep. Oh, God, thank you for your promise. Fear not. 150 times, fear not. Jesus, help us to go out this week and every day the rest of our life. And I don't care what we face, help us to fall back and say, yeah, but my God, my Father said, fear not. And I'm not going to. Jesus, thank you for meeting us today. Change our hearts and our lives because we were here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say?
Amen.
Amen.